I'm sitting with Heather Van Cura, the manager of the JCP program office at Sun, and I wanted to ask you about JSR 306. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes, JSR 306is a new JSR submitted in September 2006. It's towards a new version of the JCP program, so looking at JCP.next, what are some of the areas that can be improved to meet the needs of the community at this time.
Okay, so what kind of things are in it?
Right now, the expert group has a number of areas that they're looking at for consideration, and we've grouped them under a couple of main topics, and those are participation, so looking at streamlining individuals' participation as well as participation with other standards organizations, so enabling liaisons. Transparency of JSR development, pace of the JSRs, as well as a couple of areas that are more related to intellectual property, and those are migrating existing technologies into the JCP and enabling non-Java implementations in within the Java community process.
Okay, so could you tell me a little bit about individual participation? What kind of things might that involve?
Well, when looking at the individuals over the duration of the GCP, we've seen a marked increase in the membership of individuals in the program. So primarily we're going to be focusing on individuals' participation in the JCP. So how can we maximize that and make their experience a more positive one? So looking at streamlining the application process for becoming an individual member, as well as looking at some ways that we can increase the value that they receive. So looking at ways for them to have more access into the workings of JSR expert groups.
Without actually being on the expert group, you mean?
Right. So right now, if you are a member, anybody who's a member, including individuals, can be on an expert group of a JSR. But obviously not every individual who's a member of the JCP can be on every expert group that they're interested in. There's usually kind of a quorum that the spec lead likes to have. So if you're not on the expert group, but you're still interested in the technology and feel like you have something to contribute, having a way to stay more up to date into what's happening with that JSR, what are some of the topics that the expert group is discussing, what are some of the areas of conflict or areas where there's debating solutions. So really being able to see what's happening there, as well as have some access into the pace of the JSR. So how's the JSR progressing, and what's the schedule looking like? Are they really going to stay on track with the schedule that they proposed with the initial JSR? Or, you know, are there conversations about waiting? So it will help them in a number of ways, both with regards to just keeping up to speed on the technology, as well as being able to plan from kind of a more product perspective.
Okay, so you kind of touched on both transparency and pace just then, but let's go to transparency a little bit. What other way, I mean, what's the problem that is sort of perceived right now, and how would it be fixed? Or to make, you know, what isn't transparent enough right now, and how would you make it more transparent?
Okay. Well, yeah, I think the primary thing really is the expert group discussions. So right now, by default, the conversations that happen within the expert group are labeled as confidential conversations. So one thing that we're looking at is turning that situation around, whereby the default would be that conversations within the expert group are not confidential by default. You'd have the option to have some confidential conversations, but that would be a choice. The majority of the conversations would be public. So that's one area around increasing transparency. And I think also it would help to have access into kind of, you know, what areas are happening in terms of the pace, like I mentioned before. So the transparency and the pace really do go together. So a lot of times you'll see, you know, it's hard to determine if a JSR is actually moving forward, or if they've hit some kind of a roadblock, or if somebody has lost interest in the JSR and it's in need of someone to go ahead and pick it up again. So I think those are really the two things driving the transparency.
Okay, so does pace, I mean, is one of the problems that that things do get blocked and they get stuck for a long time? Or, I mean, other than what you just described about transparency of the pace, what else about pace might be in this JSR 306?
I think the other thing around pace would be just looking at how the JSRs move through the JCP, what their cadence is. So looking at that, kind of some initial investigation, we've seen that kind of the main lag seems to be in getting that first draft out to the public. So looking at what we can do to help the expert groups, you know, get on board more quickly and start to work towards a draft that they want to get out in the public. Because it seems that once they get that first draft out to the public, they really seem to pick up the pace and start to move quickly through the process to a final release. So that's the primary thing around the pace. There really are only a handful of JSRs that get stalled, but that also is helpful to know, you know, so that someone can either help them resolve things or, you know, suggest an alternative, either, you know, turn the JSR over to someone else or withdraw it.
Okay, so then another thing in participation you mentioned was standards organizations, not individuals, but other organizations. So can you kind of describe what maybe the difficulty is right now and how that might be addressed?
Okay. Yeah, so right now, a lot of the JSRs do work with other standards organizations as they develop their technologies. So what they like to do is exchange both ideas as well as working drafts that haven't been released through a formal review cycle. And that is currently possible within the rules of the JCP, but it needs to be arranged on a one-by-one basis, case-by-case basis, between the expert group, so the spec lead making the initiation of that with the other standards organization. So what we're looking at doing is facilitating that relationship to happen more naturally. So any spec lead can go ahead and have that kind of working relationship with standards organizations that we've established liaisons with. So right now that's prohibitive by doing that, you know, unilaterally across the board by a confidentiality statement that's in the Java specification agreement, so the JSPA. So we're looking at what we can do to modify that clause so we could enable those liaisons to happen a little bit more naturally, so save the spec leads some time and one less thing for them to worry about.
Okay, great. So in your talk, I just was at your talk, and there are two things I wanted to ask you about. One is you were talking about hybrid implementations. Can you explain what that is all about?
Yeah, so the hybrid implementation is referring to the non-Java environments. So that term, what it means is having the option to have both a Java implementation of a JSR as well as a non-Java implementation. So that non-Java implementation could be anything that's written outside of Java and runs entirely outside of Java. So we're looking at investigating, you know, the possibility that we would have that option for JSRs. So it wouldn't be that every JSR would qualify to be a hybrid JSR. So JSRs more in the enterprise environment, things that are working with web services or are part of a service-oriented architecture would be applicable areas where it would make sense to have both a Java implementation as well as a non-Java implementation. So that would be an option that the spec lead could decide, and obviously would also be subject to the EC approval. So then you'd also still have JSRs that really are true Java implementation. It really doesn't make sense to have anything that would not be a Java implementation, so things like Java language features or things like that.
Okay. So another thing you said in your talk was developer-centric, like becoming more developer-centric. And I was curious how would it become more developer-centric?
Okay. The developer centricity really started kind of in the evolution process from around 2002 when we enabled individuals to participate more fully in the Java Community Process Program. And so now I think most of the changes that we're talking about with regards to individual participation really do focus on making it more developer-centric. So really focusing on the needs of the individual developers, but still balancing that with the commercial interests as well. So.
All right, great. Well, thank you very much, Heather.
Thank you.